She remains simply missing. She has disappeared into a mystery of fate as big as the world. Joseph Conrad. Welcome to Grimly.
Get there.
Oh, midday. Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, here we are. Still here. Oh, man.
How you doing today?
I'm good. You're asking me that like I haven't been here for 3 fucking hours. Hello, guys.
New episode, new day.
New episode, new vibe. Anyways, welcome to Grimly.
I'm Meg.
And I'm Missy. And we are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy shit. Don't eye roll me.
No, I wasn't. I was just like, I wonder what we're talking about today.
We're doing two episodes today, along with a guest spot.
Three episodes.
Another pod. But we don't really have to do anything for the third, thankfully. We just have to bring in the noise.
Nice.
So.
Uh-huh.
Which is what you generally do, I guess.
And I'm like, and three in one day is still a lot.
It's still a lot. You're so right. We'll get through it, though.
But I'm happy for you that you're like, I can turn my brain off for a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Good.
Shut her down a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. Yeah, we took a little walk.
Yeah.
Tried to get the blood flowing. I needed a coffee.
Yeah, you're really supposed to take a 10-minute break every 90 minutes that you work on a task.
According to what?
I don't know, neuroscience or something.
You can shut up. Are you a neuroscientist?
And I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a corporate, like, right. How not to blow your
brains out. How not to get burnt out and blow your brains out. Yeah, 101. Love it.
Yes.
That's America for you. Just take a walk.
Do you want
paid maternity?
Yeah, take a walk. Come back and with a better attitude.
Right? Yeah. Go fucking fix your shit.
Sprightly.
Maybe
fix
like
your face,
take a walk, sure. Do some chain smoking,
yeah, whatever you
right do. Whatever you're
we didn't do that, but we probably would feel jazzed right now if we had done chain smoking.
God, it just makes me feel thick.
It does, me too.
Yeah,
actually I take one puff of a nicotine cigarette,
mm-hmm,
and I like immediately feel like my knees are jello, like, yeah. I cannot hold myself up,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm queasy, I'm floating,
right?
What is this? It's intense and it's nauseating.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I guess you just get used to it because you kind of have to keep doing, yeah, more and more. It's wild.
Yeah.
Nicotine's a wild
It
drug.
Doesn't seem like it lasts very long either. That's
no.
Why it's like, you got to keep, it's a bummer of a high. Not a fun high, I guess is what I'm saying.
It definitely feels like something it's also very hard for people to quit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, really bad for people who are.
Statistically.
Yes. Yeah. A hell of a drug.
But we're doing better in 2026 with our nicotine, I think.
Yeah.
Better than ever.
Everyone has their little USB.
Oh, the vapes. You're right.
Yeah.
It's probably still better than
I think was. As millennials, we kind of hit that sweet spot because we were told cigarettes are bad. We had the truth campaigns.
True. And before the vapes.
The women smoked out of the thing and like
the
neck.
Hole in the neck, yes.
That was alarming.
Yep.
And then we kind of were too old for the vapes. I mean, there are people that we know. I do know people that smoke vapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they call them douche flutes.
Ooh, okay. Noted.
Because listen, if you were a character in Zelda, you'd be playing a douche flute if you had a vape.
Okay. They have douche flutes in Zelda?
No.
Okay.
I was making a joke.
I just don't know why you need to take vapes to Zelda land.
Because
it's like the last place that a vape.
Flute? Zelda?
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Did you never play Zelda growing up?
I did.
Yeah.
But I think of Lizzo when I think of a flute.
Oh, we're in a different algorithm in our brains.
Yes. I was like, I wouldn't have gone there to Zelda. Okay. It's both. They're both dumb.
They're both, they're both dumb. They're both dumb and valid.
Sure. What are we talking about today?
All right,
tell me it's something less dumb than this.
Yeah, I would say it's less dumb than our flute talk or flute corner. So in March of 1918, one of the largest ships in the United States Navy left Barbados carrying more than 300 people and thousands of tons of manganese ore. It never reached its destination.
Okay, what's
There were no confirmed distress calls, no wreckage, no bodies, and more than a century later, no definitive answers of what happened. This is the disappearance of the USS Cyclops.
There was a USS Cyclops?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. And it is named after what you think it is.
The Odyssey?
Well, a Cyclops.
I don't know that there was like a Cyclops before Homer's The Odyssey, right? I mean,
I'm sure it's,
but I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think like a Cyclops is now has its own lore.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Okay, you're
it's
right.
It's not cryptid because I don't think people think it's real, but I do think a Cyclops has appeared in so many things now that I don't think it's just The Odyssey.
Oh, I think it could be a cryptid. I think it is a cryptid.
You think a Cyclops could be real?
I don't think cryptids can be real.
You don't think Bigfoot's real?
No.
Okay. Listen. There's no judgment. I'm just learning.
No, I do not. I'd like to, but no.
Okay. That's a very definitive answer.
I really don't think so.
It's a very definitive answer.
I know.
Answer.
There would be babies. There would be bones. There would be any evidence other than just someone like, oh, I saw it.
What if it's an interdimensional being?
Fine. If it exists, that's
how it does.
But then I guess it's on the same plane as
aliens?
Not quite. Not for me. Not quite.
Okay. It's like in the tier. Maybe in like...
It's on a lower tier.
It's on a lower tier. Okay. You know what?
But the same evidence exists.
I'm just saying.
It's just someone saw it.
I'm solidly in the gray. Solidly in the gray.
Okay. A Cyclops to me... is just as realistic as Bigfoot, I guess is what I mean. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if I agree with that.
I believe you because you just said you're a believer.
I said it was solely in the gray.
Well, leaning towards.
Oh my God. Believer. Never.
On the scale, it would be tipping towards.
We're moving
on. That's a ship. Okay.
We're fucking moving on. This is a real ship.
Okay.
It's a pier. God damn
it. Yeah. All right. That was a tangent.
It just happened to be called a Cyclops.
We didn't need to do all that.
No, we needed a tangent at the beginning, like we always do. We just we injected it into the story.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. All right. So the USS Cyclops was built by William Cramp and Sons in Philadelphia and launched on May 7th, 1910. She officially entered service in the United States Navy later on that year on November 7th, 1910. So the Cyclops was a Proteus-class collier, which is meant her primary purpose was to transport massive quantities of coal and other bulk materials needed to support Navy operations, because a lot of the naval ships at this time were coal-operated. The Cyclops was steam-operated, which was a newer technology.
Okay, but they're still using coal,
they're
too.
They're using coal.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you a picture of it in a second. I'll kind of explain. So she was a very large ship for the time, measuring roughly about 540 feet long and about 65 feet wide. Big girl.
Mm-hmm.
So Cyclops was also capable of carrying approximately 12,500 tons of coal and had been designed to serve as a kind of floating supply ship for fleets.
Okay.
She was like basically, she was a fuel ship, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
So unlike a battleship or destroyer, Cyclops is not primarily intended for combat. Her job was to move fuel and supplies wherever the Navy needed them.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So during her early years, the Cyclops operated in several regions, including the Baltic Sea, the Caribbean, and along the east coast of the United States. So she would like kind of go through the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
And so she also supported American operations during the occupation of Veracruz, Mexico in 1914, 1915, kind of doing a supply ship thing. So when the United States entered World War I in April of 1917, ships like the Cyclops became especially important because they were needed to transport fuel and strategic materials for the war effort itself.
Mm-hmm.
Every ship is important at this point. So the Cyclops was formally commissioned for wartime in the Navy service on May 1st, 1917. So she's officially like, you're signed up, girl. You're drafted into the war effort.
Again. Yeah. You're going to do this one again.
Yeah. So she later accompanied a convoy to St. Nazarene, France, before returning to operations in the Atlantic waters itself. And by early 1918, the Cyclops had been assigned to the Naval Overseas Transportation Service, where she was preparing for her last and final voyage. And this is when that story happens.
Oh, that's a bummer. Okay.
I know. Anytime.
Isn't it ironic?
I know. Anytime it's like, oh, this is the final one, you're like,
oh. Yeah.
You're like, you just jinxed me fucking time. Totally. And this is a picture of it. So the structures here, it's like,
can hold
this stuff. No, it basically has like buckets, like the big claw machine bucket looking things. Mm-hmm. It scoops up the coal that's in these compartments down here, mm-hmm. pulls it up, and then drops it over.
Okay.
So that's what this rigging up here is for.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So on January 9th, 1918, the USS Cyclops departs Norfolk, Virginia, and it's carrying approximately 9,960 tons of coal.
Okay.
It's a lot of coal.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from Virginia, which kind of makes sense. So the destination was Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Okay.
Where the coal was intended to help supply British ships operating in the region of the South America area. Didn't know there was stuff happening down there during World War One. I was assuming it was all in Europe.
Yeah, probably everywhere.
But it probably mm-hmm. is a world war, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably part of it. So the Cyclops arrives in Rio de Janeiro on January 28th, 1918. So she remained there for approximately 2 weeks while the coal was being unloaded.
Okay.
Which is...
It's a long time.
It's a long time to unload. I think the buckets do one scoop.
And then humans have to...
Well, like it does... I think it does three scoops per minute is what I saw in the statistic.
Okay.
So it does three of those in a minute. But 2 weeks of that, that's a lot of fucking coal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So once the coal was removed, Cyclops took on new cargo, which was approximately 1,100 tons of manganese ore.
What's that?
So manganese was extremely valuable during World War One because it was used in steel production. So it was something used in like making metals, essentially, for
Is planes. Is it liquid or?
No, I think ore is basically like the natural state of whatever element you're using. I think it was more like a rock, essentially. Huh. It maybe was smelted down and used to like in steel production to like maybe make it a little bit stronger to make like ships or airplanes or, you know, whatever, bullets, some sort of weapon. Mm-hmm. This is me also being confidently incorrect.
Yeah, okay.
I could be completely wrong. So okay. If anyone has an idea, a better idea of what I'm saying,
okay,
let me know. I love to be correct.
Okay. Well, materials.
Yeah, just materials. It's raw materials for the war effort, for lack of a better word.
Interesting.
So the manganese cargo would later become one of the most important details in this investigation into the ship's disappearance because the ore was extremely dense and put an enormous weight on the vessel itself.
Okay.
It was like maybe she'd taken too much of it.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. She said. Sorry.
It can happen.
You know what? Good for you. So Captain George Worley, who was the captain of the ship at this time, the Cyclops at this time, he reports at this time that the starboard engine has also suffered damage and that one of the cylinders was no longer functioning properly in the starboard engine itself.
All right. Got problems.
Yeah, we got problems. But this is also during wartime. It's a war effort. We don't have time to make these big repairs. You're just going to have to like...
Make it work.
Yeah, make it work.
Okay.
Duct tape and a dream, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
So a survey board inspected the Cyclops and ultimately determined the ship can continue back to the United States.
Mm. Okay.
Like I just said. And then like maybe some more extensive repairs could be made. But this is also its final journey, its final leg.
Ah, okay.
So they're like, okay, like just kind get of it limp, back. Let's limp along. Let's keep it going. Yeah, you could
feasibly get this
right,
back.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
So before the Cyclops left Brazil, there was already signs that the ship was also experiencing some mechanical trouble besides the starboard engine not working. So there were concerns that Cyclops may have been carrying too much weight once the manganese, the fuel, water supplies, and crew were all taken into account.
Oof, I wouldn't love that.
Yeah, so we were like, ooh, maybe we...
It's kind of... limping along, you don't want it to be overburdened as well.
Right? You're like, oh, you have a broken ankle? How about we also give you a 50-pound backpack
to carry? Yes, let's all carry, piggyback.
Yeah, like also can you juggle?
Yeah.
You can do it, right? You can make it work.
Oof, I wouldn't like it very much.
So sources differ slightly on the exact date, but the Cyclops leaves Rio around February 15th or February 16th, 1918. Sometimes, I think maybe it was either later or earlier. Type of situation, but it's between the 15th and the 16th of February on 1918.
All right.
So from Rio, the ship travels north towards Salvador, and then Brazil, which is commonly called Bahia at the time.
Okay.
And so the Cyclops arrives in Salvador around February 20th. And she departs Salvador on February 22nd. I think she was probably getting some refueled stuff and maybe getting some more water, really, supply stuff, whatever. And from Salvador, it's expected that the ship is going to sail directly from Salvador to Baltimore, Maryland, which is a long journey, I will say. And she's scheduled to arrive in Baltimore around or on March 13th of 1918. But instead of continuing to Baltimore, the Cyclops made an unexpected stop in Barbados.
Okay.
Around March 3rd, 1918. So Barbados had not originally been scheduled as part of the return voyage, and it's speculated that there were mechanical concerns again,
yeah,
along with the ship's heavy load, and there was a need for additional fuel and supplies.
Sure.
These were the suggestions for the possible reasons for stopping.
Yeah.
It's not really confirmed or denied, but it's kind of just best case judgment, right, in that situation.
Sense, yeah.
Because it's like ship's really heavy.
Yeah, it's a reasonable.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we need more fuel than we thought we were going to need. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to stop. Some accounts report that the Cyclops appeared to be riding unusually low in the water when she arrives in Barbados as well.
Okay.
Which is also not good.
Yeah.
Right? So one historical account claimed that ship's water line was above the plimsoll line.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
I should have looked it up, but
okay. We can sort of guesstimate.
Oh, I did.
You looked it up?
God damn it. I really have no faith in myself. So it is a line marking to indicate how deeply a ship can be safely loaded.
Got it.
So I think it's maybe that, like, yeah, you know, ships are usually like two colors.
Sure.
With a red and the black usually. Sure, yeah. And maybe it was below that line.
Yeah.
I think that's what that is.
Sure.
So they're basically like, it's below that line, it's overloaded, and now it needs more fuel. It's also got mechanical shit happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little rough. So despite concerns about the ship's condition and weight, the Cyclops takes aboard additional fuel and supplies while in Barbados.
Okay.
Take fuel, obviously.
Sure.
Do you need more supplies? What are you getting in Barbados? Rum?
I don't know.
Are you pirates?
I really don't know.
You already stopped a couple times to get supplies. Are you guys just like eating well? Not rationing your supplies?
Who's to know?
I don't know. I would love to know, but I don't know. So, there's approximately 1,800 nautical miles that still separates the Cyclops from its final destination in Baltimore.
Okay.
So, on March 4th, 1918, the USS Cyclops departs Barbados and continues north towards the United States. And this is the last confirmed location of the ship.
Okay.
So
somewhere out there.
Yeah. So approximately 306 people were aboard the Cyclops when she left Barbados. And it's kind of an approximate because there was maybe passengers, not naval officers, sure, or naval people in the Navy.
Okay.
Maybe they took on some people who were trying to get to Maryland for some reason.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's a little bit of a gray area.
Yeah.
So it's like the exact number differs, I guess. It's also, this is 1918. Records are probably not the best, right? They're not digitized.
Totally. This is not an insignificant amount of people.
Yeah. So after the Cyclops leaves Barbados, there's no confirmed messages indicating that anything was wrong.
Oh, weird.
So there's not a confirmed SOS or distress call that was ever received from the ship. There's also no message reporting engine trouble, flooding, bad weather, or any other emergency. It just disappears.
Okay.
Simply, for lack of a better word. There was one later report claiming that a tanker called the Amulco had seen the Cyclops near Virginia on the coast around March 9th. So, if that sighting had been accurate, the Cyclops would have made surprisingly close to Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, like its final destination. But the captain, the Amulco, later denies the encounter ever occurred.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it was the captain that made the initial report of seeing it, or if it was like a crew member, maybe wanting to be part of the story, and just saying shit, adding to the lore,
maybe.
But either way, that is a sighting, but it's not the last confirmed sighting, I guess.
Okay.
So because of this, the March 9th sighting is generally not considered reliable, but it is something to, you know, kind of think about, I guess. So, Barbados is now the last confirmed place where the USS Cyclops is seen. So, around March 10th, a major storm passes through that part of the region where the Cyclops may have been traveling. But we don't know if it was in that storm because there was no distress call. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. There was no signs of anything going wrong. It just disappears.
Yeah, you're right. It's odd.
Yeah. So there's no way to prove whether the Cyclops encountered that storm because its location is unknown.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the technology looks like when it comes to radar at that point.
I know. Do they do the
Doppler, any of that stuff? I have no idea.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Mars code still probably in 1918.
I think, yeah. Like the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you need a line for that, don't you?
I have no fucking clue. Probably.
But...
I don't know.
When I think about watching Titanic, mm-hmm. they do the SOS, like the little telegram.
What's that? Some kind of wavelength?
I guess.
Girl, I don't know.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Don't get mad at me. I'm just asking.
The thing is, it comes up, these frequencies and things come up at work, uh-huh. and I'm like, I don't.
That's magic.
I hear you guys talking about things. That I don't might fully as
well,
understand.
That might as well be magic over here.
It is, actually.
It kind of is.
It is.
Because you're like, what do you mean?
Physics is magic.
Yeah. It's like physics is alchemy. No, chemistry is alchemy. Physics is... wizardry.
Okay,
I'm making science. Girl. I'm making science magic now. Stupid. Okay, so the Cyclops is scheduled to reach Baltimore on March 13th.
Okay,
but March 13th comes and goes.
Shit, thought you would say that. Yeah,
yeah. So after, actually, we'll take a break.
Oh.
Love horror movies, haunted houses, creepy cult classics? Love a good drink while you scream? Then you need to check out Spooky Sips, the podcast where three spooky-loving ladies dive into horror movies old and new, all while sipping on some delicious spirits of their own. From slashers and slow burns to final girls and found footage, they bring the laughs, the screams, and the cocktails every 2 weeks. So grab your glass, hit play, and join the watch party because horror is better with friends and maybe a little wine. New episodes every other Thursday. Listen to Spooky Sips wherever you get your podcasts.
You stretch
my back out.
Okay. Okay, we're back. So Cyclops was scheduled to arrive in Baltimore.
Did not show. It did not show.
Oh. It's supposed to be there. I did not compute. Like, it did not show. What are you talking about?
The boat.
Yeah.
She never made it.
No, she never made it. So March 13th comes and goes in Baltimore. And everywhere else in the world, because that's how time works.
Well, yeah.
And the calendar. That's how the calendar works. It's the date.
That's how we measure it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, but, so, yeah. So March 13th comes and goes. Cyclops doesn't show up, which is not great. So at first, officials could not be certain that something catastrophic had happened because there's delays during wartime. Remember, this is World War One.
Yeah.
And... it's not necessarily unusual because maybe the Cyclops is like routing itself around something. It maybe detected something. It's like rerouting itself to try to avoid conflict and some, because this is not a combat ready ship.
Right.
This is a ship.
Totally.
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
So on the front lines of the war effort.
It's not trying to fight.
No.
Essentially. But more time passes without any communication, and then concern rapidly increases. And that's the problem. We're not hearing anything from them. They're not like doing the little telegram thing. And being right. Like, hey, we saw blah, blah, blah off the coast. We are rerouting ourselves to avoid it.
Yes.
You know, there's that. None of that happening. Mm-hmm. So then the Navy begins searching for the Cyclops itself. But because the United States was in the middle of World War One, officials immediately had to consider whether the ship had been attacked by a German U-boat.
Okay.
Not U-boat. That was World War II. Some sort of German ship. Some sort of German vessel. So search vessels look for the Cyclops along her expected route, but they find nothing conclusive.
There's
no lifeboats recovered. There's no bodies located. There's no debris found. And there's no confirmed wreckage that could establish where the Cyclops had gone down. If it did. There's just, the boat's just gone.
Okay.
This is a big fucking boat.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's also, if it's carrying that much fuel and supplies and like all of this
oil
stuff.
Oil in the water or something.
Right. Like a slick maybe. But also, this was a vessel that carried coal.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunch of coal dust.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like a black,
you would think dusty
something, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing. There's none of that. So by April 1918, newspapers were openly reporting that the ship was probably lost at this point, which unfortunately was true. Mm-hmm. So families of the people aboard the Cyclops were left without answers because no one could tell them exactly when, where, or how their loved ones had died.
It's terrible.
Or even if they are dead.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't know what fucking happened. Yeah. Right?
It's awful.
So on June 1st, 1918, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Okay.
Diva. He officially declares the USS Cyclops lost.
Okay.
He's like, we don't know where the ship went, but she's gone.
I declare.
Okay. I don't know if they still have that power, just declare something lost, but maybe.
Okay.
So the disappearance represents one of the largest losses of life in the United States Navy history outside of combat.
Sure, yeah.
Because this, like I said, this wasn't a boat that was meant to fight. This was a boat that meant to carry supplies.
Arguably one of the safer places to be.
Unless, I mean, they're trying to target
a
supply chain.
Sure.
Then you're kind of fucked.
True.
But then they usually have a destroyer or some other things escorting you everywhere.
Yeah.
We talked about that with the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was a transport vessel and she was like flagged by a bunch of other ships.
Yeah.
So there's something interesting about Captain Worley, the captain of the Cyclops, that like, I was like, I wasn't sure where to add this. So I just did a whole other section about him. So the captain of the USS Cyclops during her final voyage, at least, was a Lieutenant Commander George W. Worley. But Worley had originally been born in Germany under the name Johann Friedrich Weichmann before immigrating to the United States.
Hmm.
So he was a German-born immigrant, immigrated here, like we all did, except for the people who got...
When did he do that, though?
It didn't really say. Okay. It was before the war.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was when he was like a teenager, when he was a child, when he was an adult.
Okay.
But he had immigrated here from Germany.
And then he changed his name?
Yes, I think that's more common back then.
Back then,
yes.
Sure.
I think my family immigrated here during World War One on my dad's side, and they changed their last name.
Yeah, you're right.
They shortened it.
Yeah.
So it's almost the same name, but it's, a short version.
Okay.
So his German background, because this is World War One, and we are fighting Germany actively during this time, so this becomes significant.
Sure.
After the Cyclops disappears, because... everyone's like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This was a German-born citizen. He was the captain of the ship, and now the ship is gone.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people did begin wondering maybe Worley had some secret loyalty to Germany.
Was he in the military?
He was in the military.
Got it.
He was a Navy captain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So theories eventually developed suggesting that he could have deliberately handed the ship over to the Germans and participated in some kind of sabotage.
Yeah, he could have, for sure.
Just one ship?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's the biggest kind of transporting ship of supplies, but it feels weird to do all that to just give them one ship. If you had a fleet, that would make a little bit more sense to me. It feels like people are just kind of putting this under a microscope and scrutinizing it.
Okay.
But I do think it's worth noting, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
So the Office of Naval Intelligence investigated Worley's background and loyalty after the Cyclops disappears, I think is logical, right? There's no evidence of espionage, but Worley does appear to have a very difficult relationship with the people serving under him. People just did not like this man.
Got it.
He just wasn't a good boss. He was like not someone that people respected. They really didn't want to.
Oof.
Like it was a tense time on the boat.
Yeah, okay.
And it just was not a fun boat to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
From what it sounds like from the crew, their accounts that they have told people before the Cyclops disappears.
Okay.
And then there's also a officer named Conrad A. Nerving. He was serving aboard the ship and he actually got off in Rio because he was actually being transferred to a different ship for some reason. And so he evaded whatever happened.
Okay.
He got very lucky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're
right.
Which is really funny because he was like this Conrad Nerving. He talked about like how Worley would kind of come to his room, board, whatever you want to call it. What is it?
Quarters.
Thank you. He would come to his quarters off and they would like chit chat. And Conrad would later say like, I feel like I was the only guy he felt like he could talk to on that ship. And he, when Conrad was getting transferred, Morley kind of fought it.
Oh, okay.
Because he was like, you're the, you're like my right-hand man here. Yeah. You're my confidant. What do you mean you're leaving?
Yeah.
He kind of tried to fight it, but he still got transferred, unfortunately. Okay. So yeah, because he gets transferred in this way, he avoids whatever happened. Yeah. So he gets to, he should go buy a lottery ticket after that, I guess. Yeah,
totally.
For him. But he also describes Worley as an unpopular and ineffective commanding officer.
Okay.
Just like, which sucks. It sucks to be dragged in the mud.
Yeah.
When you're gone.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I would haunt all your asses. You don't have to be, I don't know,
crazy. I don't know, but 300 people to go missing too.
So I know. Right. That's true.
It's kind of a problem.
Listen, I'm just saying, if you fucking badmouth me this way after I die, I'm going to haunt your ass.
Fair.
Pretty intensely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So Worley himself complained that many of the members of his crew were also inexperienced and poorly trained. I would argue, is that your fault?
Yeah.
Sir, you know?
It is.
Yeah. So there was also disciplinary problems aboard the ship, and accounts suggest that morale was very poor.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So reports of these conflicts later led to rumors that the crew maybe have mutinied against Worley. Instead of...
But they would have found it somewhere, right? It would have gone somewhere?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, where'd they take it?
So there was never any evidence convincing one way or the other that mutiny may probably occurred on the Cyclops, because we don't really know where the ship is.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just like speculation.
Sure. Yeah. Right? All the things that could potentially have happened.
Yeah.
Of course.
The Naval History and Heritage Command Museum, they described the situation aboard the ship as being toxic, in a very toxic command environment. Mm. Okay, so then according to Nerving, the officer that was able to kind of get off in Rio, he talks about how people kind of misunderstood how heavy manganese ore was.
Okay.
And maybe they didn't really properly load it onto the ship.
Sure.
And maybe that was kind of part of the reason why the ship kind of disappeared. They're like, I think...
It sank.
He's like, it maybe sank because of the manganese ore.
Yeah, okay.
So they're like... It's a lot of speculation.
But wouldn't they have been able to get on lifeboats?
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, if it's slowly sinking.
Yes.
You would think.
Yeah.
Unless they got caught in that storm.
Maybe. Sure. And then I would think.
But there's got to be a sign. There's got to be a life jacket. Something.
I would think some, at least one of those boats would have gone.
Like, I just imagine a crate.
Anything.
Anything.
Yep.
Yeah. So, which will lead us to... theories of what happened to Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, and kind of the one I kind of talked about already, is maybe there was something happened during the World War II fighting time, and that the Cyclops itself had been destroyed by Germany.
That makes sense.
So Cyclops was obviously, like I said, transporting manganese ore, which is strategically important in wartime material efforts. They needed this manganese to make sure that they could make whatever they were making with it. And there's also the speculation that Morley's German birth maybe made it, people were like a little bit more suspicious of him in general. So even if it wasn't, they weren't attacked by Germany, maybe Worley just kind of surrendered the ship to Germany. And then what happens after that is kind of unknown.
But it would have been in Germany at some point.
That's what I'm about to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The deliberation of if it was either blown up or surrendered.
Sure.
But... British intelligence has successfully intercepted and decoded significant amounts of German naval communication during this war effort, and those records contain no indication that a German force had attacked or taken the Cyclops.
Okay.
And like you just said, there would have been evidence that they had done that.
Yeah.
Right? And so then after the war, there's German naval records that were examined, and investigators found no evidence that Germany had sunk or taken the ship.
Interesting.
So.
Okay.
I guess they take details of everything, even if it's,
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe.
It makes me wonder, is that just like everyone's good faith? We're all taking records correctly? Even our enemies during wartime, they're like making, yeah. If they took the ship, they're taking
true, the record. True, but this many years later, I feel like if there was information about where it was or if it had been stored anywhere, it probably would have come out. I guess that's what I mean.
That's true,
like,
yeah.
At the time, sure, we can lie to each other.
Yeah. And like afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these years later.
I mean, yeah.
100 years later.
Yeah. I mean, even like 19, I mean, like 30, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, here's the Cyclops. It's been in this
exactly
facility where we took it apart.
After World War II, at minimum.
Yeah, totally. So German authorities apparently learned about the disappearance after the fact.
Yeah.
Like the Cyclops, the disappearance after the attack. They're like, we had nothing to do with that. They're like, not us, dude.
Okay.
Sorry. So another suggested theory, like I've talked about a little bit, is that maybe the crew rebelled against Captain Worley and there was some sort of mutiny that happened. So there is genuine tension between Worley and some members of the crew. He's just not a very good captain. Not everyone's meant to lead, you know?
Okay, right.
And there had been disciplinary problems before the disappearance of the Cyclops. Like either people kind of pushing back to Worley, kind of not like listening or obeying orders, kind of being like, well, fuck yourself a little bit. They just like, did not like this man.
Okay. Oh, no.
I don't know. Maybe if he had German origins, maybe he had a German accent.
He might have just been culturally a bit different.
Yeah. And they're like, you're actually the enemy.
Maybe.
A little bit. I don't know. Maybe. But there's never been solid evidence showing that the crew actually seized control of the Cyclops.
Yeah, because also it would be somewhere eventually.
They would have parked it somewhere. I mean, we're getting off this boat. Let's get the fuck out of here. And so the mutiny also fails to explain why the ship itself disappeared. There's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they purposely sank it and went somewhere else. But there would be something. Yeah. So the next theory is mechanical failure. I have mechanical failure, cargo problems, and structural failure. Kind of, I have them in three different sections, but this is kind of all the same. There's something going on with the ship itself, right? So the Cyclops, as I said, has already been experiencing engine problems before it left Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. So the starboard engine had been damaged, and one of its cylinders was not functioning properly. So there's already stuff happening to the ship that's not ideal for sailing, right? So if the Cyclops is operating with reduced engine power and then also has this heavy load and then it also has to go through maybe some weather that like maybe had happened in that area, this could probably explain why the vessel vanished completely.
Yeah, totally.
However, that still doesn't explain why there isn't a sign of it anywhere. I think that's the biggest like part of the story is there's just nothing.
Yeah.
And that's very odd.
Right.
Right. You're like, what do you mean?
Well, the ocean is vast, so I would say we probably missed it. But yeah, it is. Yeah. It would be odd if there never, ever really was a trace.
We will get into the more of the area it was missing in a moment. So besides the mechanical failure, there's also the fact that there was 11,000 tons of manganese ore on the Cyclops, and that could have caused it to sink. It's manganese is considerably much more denser than coal.
Okay.
And it's
That makes sense.
I think because the Cyclops could hold 11,000 tons of coal easily, it couldn't hold 11,000 tons of manganese ore.
Sure.
The same way.
Yep.
Because the ore is denser than the coal.
Yes.
And makes I think sense. For some people, density and weight are the same thing, but it's actually not the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Because if something's more dense, that means it weighs more, even if it's the same amount of volume.
Does that make sense? Yep.
Okay.
Yep. This manganese is heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's the same
physical,
it's the same amount. Volume. Like
yes,
filling up the same volume as the coal did, it's still going to be significantly heavier.
Yes.
And people didn't understand. I mean, they probably didn't understand, but these people maybe didn't understand. Just because it fits in the same sections that the coal did, it's going to be significantly heavier.
Right.
It's something they didn't take into the equation.
That's a problem. Right? Yeah, that's a problem.
And there's also the question maybe if the manganese had been distributed properly throughout the cargo holds and if that would have caused maybe some sort of failure on the ship itself. Yeah. And we already talked about in Barbados, everyone was like, that ship's riding deceptively low. Yeah. That's not good. And if the ship had hit maybe a patch of rough sea, and it caused the ore to shift within the ship.
Sure.
It could have maybe flipped it.
Totally.
And capsized it. Absolutely. And that causes it to sink.
Yep, totally.
But then it's also like, where does it go? Even if it capsizes, it's going to take a long time for it to sink completely.
Okay.
Unless the ore was just that heavy. It just causes it to sink like a rock a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a ship scientist.
But the bodies?
But there's no bodies. There's no one got off. No one was able to get to a lifeboat.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No one was able to put a life jacket on. There was nothing.
Yeah. Did it happen in the middle of the night or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
I still think there would be a few something, people awake.
Right? Like,
should be.
Like a sign of something. A crate. Like yeah. I say, like, I don't know.
But we could have just missed that, you know?
They could have missed that. They could have missed that. So Conrad Nerving, the officer that was able to get off in Rio de Janeiro, he believes that there is maybe some sort of structural failure that likely explained the loss of the Cyclops. It kind of goes back to the manganese ore, and he says that maybe it would have been concentrated into the center cargo holds of the area, and he thinks that maybe this concentrated weight could have placed enormous stress in the middle section of the hull itself, and that causes the boat to basically break apart.
Oh, like the Titanic did sort of in the middle.
Yeah, kind of how it snapped,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that maybe it could have sunk extremely quickly because of that.
Because it was in two pieces.
Yes.
Okay.
But, so there's like, it's a bit of like a mixed bag on like how the ship was actually loaded.
Sure.
I think that's part of the problem because there's no like real record explaining like, we distribute it evenly, or we put it all in the middle, or how they put, like, the manganese ore within the ship. Because this is just a theory.
Yep.
But it is a good theory, I will say, that caused the ship to break up, sinks quickly, no one gets off. But it's unfortunate because we don't really have a record of how the ship was actually loaded during this time. We know how it was unloaded, because that was took 2 days, right? Like I said, it took 2 days to get all the coal off. But we don't know how the manganese was loaded onto the ship. But I do think the manganese ore is the reason probably why the ship had the end it did, unfortunately. So there's also the factor of weather, in that the significant storm that moved through this part of the Atlantic that they were sailing in on March 10th was like a couple days after the Cyclops left Barbados. And so if the Cyclops have hit this weather wall, but if they were hitting bad weather, the captain should have been able to make a distress call.
Yeah.
Say something. Like, we hit some weather.
Call seems like it would have happened either way, but who knows?
Yeah.
What method they were using?
I don't know.
Okay.
These are trained people who should know how to do that.
For sure.
Under duress, but I don't know. So, interestingly enough, the structural failure theory becomes even more compelling more than 20 years later after the Cyclops disappears. Because the Cyclops belongs to a class of four closely related ships.
Okay.
So two of her sister ships, the Proteus and the Neros, those are probably, I'm saying them wrong.
They're also Greek mythology, I'm sure.
I think they're a little bit, yeah, whatever. Those two ships also disappear. So these two ships both vanish in 1941 while transporting heavy ore cargoes.
Interesting, okay.
So neither ship's disappearance was conclusively attributed to the enemy action as well. The fact that these three ships are the same general design as the same as the Cyclops, and they're all carrying extremely dense cargo, causes historians to kind of speculate and wonder whether structural weakness and cargo is kind of what leads to these ships.
Yeah, they messed sinking. It up three times.
Yeah, three out of the four. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible statistic, right?
I know, yeah.
The fourth ship in this class is called the Jupiter, and Jupiter survives and was later converted into the USS Langley in 1922, and the USS Langley becomes the first Navy aircraft carrier.
Okay.
So one of them survives.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't know statistically if that was the one that didn't carry heavy ore.
Yeah.
It just sounds like maybe it wasn't properly fitted to carry this kind of dense heavy ore is what it sounds like. But because of all three of these ships disappearing without a trace, it's kind of hard to tell.
Sure.
But it sounds like the shoe fits.
It could be
a little bit. But the reason why I know of this story,
okay, I'm listening,
is because there's a theory that didn't come out right away. It's about a place we haven't talked about in this podcast.
Okay.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't yet.
All right.
The Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Bermuda Triangle when you mentioned Barbados up to the east coast of the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that's what we're doing now.
It's there. Okay. Yeah. I didn't say it, but I was like, isn't that over there where that stuff gets hokey? Yeah.
So originally, the Cyclops was not considered a Bermuda Triangle disappearance when she vanished in 1918 because the idea of the Bermuda Triangle did not exist yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Should we...
Ships go missing there?
That's... Planes go missing there?
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit that goes missing in the Bermuda Triangle.
It's a weird place. but it's also stormy and it's weather affected.
Yes. There's a lot of weird weather that happens there.
Mm-hmm. I'm certain we have talked about it.
We have. I don't think we have. Oh. I cannot think of an episode that we have talked about the Bermuda Triangle. All right. Well, we have talked about ships going missing, but those were in different areas.
Okay.
I don't think there was one yet.
Gotcha.
You know. Yeah. So there's theories about the Bermuda Triangle. There's, you know, speculation that it's wormholes. There's portals. There's maybe some sort of interdimensional being that capture Kraken, that captures ships, brings them down, you know.
Theorized.
There's some alien folklore around the Bermuda Triangle. There's, you throw it at the wall,
it's one of those places.
It sticks, you know. It's, and there are other triangles in the world that people talk about. I always think of the Bennington Triangle, which is over on the east coast of the United States.
Okay.
That also weird shit happens. And it's just one of those weird areas where weird shit happens, evidently. So the phrase or the mythology surrounding the Bermuda Triangle doesn't become popular until the 1950s and 1960s.
Okay.
Which I did not know.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah, it does make sense. So writers look back on mysterious disappearances and notice the Cyclops was using a route that passed through the region that would be labeled later as the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the Cyclops was then retroactively incorporated into the Bermuda Triangle mythology itself.
Gotcha. Okay. An early victim,
mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So over time, she became one of the most famous disappearances associated with the area itself.
Copy.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I always just associated this with like, oh yeah, Bermuda Triangle. That was like always a theory.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
So we put it together later.
Yeah. It's one of those ones you're like, oh, I think we're grasping at straws a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of Occam's razor. With this one, unfortunately, I really do try to have some skepticism with these things.
Yeah, you know? That's nice.
So the Bermuda Triangle has included explanations like rogue waves, methane gas eruptions that causes the boat to sink, unexplained magnetic phenomenon. That's another thing with the Bermuda Triangle. Mm-hmm. It's like compasses evidently don't work there and navigation equipment doesn't work there. There's also some questions about dimensional or time anomalies that kind of talked maybe the boat passed through something and ended up in a different timeline. We don't know. Extraterrestrial life, paranormal shit.
Mm-hmm.
Our bread and butter, I will say.
Sure.
Perhaps.
Yeah, if it's there.
Yeah, but if it's there is a very good point. Mm-hmm. But there's currently no credible evidence or anything supernatural that caused the disappearance of the Cyclops. As much as I want it to be true.
I mean, it's a weird one. It's weird that no one would have gotten away from it.
I agree. It's still very odd. Yeah, mm-hmm. The one guy that got from Rio. Like I said, that guy needed to buy a... I don't think Larry existed then, but...
No, probably not.
Yeah. So, more than a century later, there's still no definitive answer explaining what happened to this USS Cyclops. Mm-hmm. So, one of the strongest conventional explanations is that several problems combined cause a sudden catastrophic structural failure, causing the boat to sink rapidly.
They were pushing it so hard.
I know.
You got to be careful, you know?
If your ship is kind of on one leg, limping along.
Let's not push it.
Let's not fully fill this bitch up.
Let's do our best to be safe here.
Right. Yeah. So because the Cyclops is carrying an enormous amount of dense manganese ore, it kind of raises questions about the cargo, how it was distributed, if this causes more engine trouble, if this causes more structural weakness, and if just the worst case scenario, if this ship is already limping along with too much cargo, not distributed well within the ship itself, like structurally it's fucked, and then it hits a bad weather window.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the worst factors that caused this ship to sink.
It's awful.
So without the wreck, investigators could not determine whether the hull broke apart, the cargo shifted, and the ship capsized, or something entirely different occurred.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
No.
So then more than 100 years after the Cyclops departed Barbados on March 4th, 1918, we still do not know exactly where she sank or what happened during her final hours. I do find that interesting because it's kind of a small area to search. I don't know how deep it is there.
Yeah, I know. It must be deep enough that it's not. I mean, they found the
fucking Titanic.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a big ship.
Yes.
Like.
That's true. You're right.
They haven't found anything there?
I don't know. It's odd.
The Bermuda Triangle mythology has helped make the USS Cyclops more famous, which is why, like I said, why I know about it. But the documented story is already kind of, I would say, solved, more or less, on its own. So the ship was 540 feet long and had more than 300 people aboard, but there's no distress call, no confirmed wreckage, no recovered bodies, no definitive explanation what the fuck happened, unfortunately. Mm. Which is crazy.
Very.
That's very perplexing. That almost raises my eyebrows. I'm like, maybe there is something else going on here.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. There's nothing. I don't know. Between Barbados and Baltimore.
It was wartime, though. It meant just, it's like, it probably was something. It just was missed. It was looking in the wrong place.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
The USS Cyclops has spent more than a century wrapped in theories from German sabotage and structural failure to the mythology of the Bermuda Triangle. Mm. But the truth is, the story does not need anything supernatural to make it haunting. More than 300 people disappeared aboard a 540-foot Navy ship without leaving behind a confirmed distress call, a wreck site, or an answer for the family's way back home.
Wild.
Maybe one day the Cyclops will finally be found at the bottom of the Atlantic and give us the evidence that has been missing since 1918. Until then, somewhere between Barbados and Baltimore, the final moments of the USS Cyclops remain a mystery.
Oh, mystery.
Mystery. When I started this, I was like, oh, this one's creepy. There's so much lore around it. Like, I'm like, bring me the triangle. Let's fucking go. I'm like, I can't believe we haven't done this. Cyclops. And I was like,
oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's life okay. Happens. And that's okay.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Look at you. Very balanced.
Try.
Very balanced here.
I'm just a balanced diva. I'm a balancing beam. Mm-hmm. On my two scales between kooky and.
I was like, it's not quite Libra season. So told your horses.
Oh, I was going to say kooky and confined.
But Libra's the one with the scale, right?
There's the one with the scale. Kooky, confined, unbalanced, you know?
Nicely done.
Thank you. I try.
Thank you for the story.
That's what we are. That's what we are right here.
You just made boating more scary than it already is to me for a girl who doesn't swim.
Oh, I mean, like the Baltic Sea stuff always freaks me out when they see like those like crazy.
Yeah, the waves.
They're just doing it. How did wooden ships do that?
They did. They certainly did.
I mean, a lot of them died.
Yeah.
Let's be real. But some of them did it.
The science behind it is wild to me, but.
Yeah.
Just the way they stay up. Buoyancy.
Buoyancy is wild. I mean, but the same thing with the airplanes. How are airplanes up there?
Similarly.
What the fuck
confounding.
Is
confounding.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that either before I get on a flight.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You have to get on a flight tomorrow. Yeah.
But
thank you. Yeah. A little bit of a shorter episode. But, you know, like I said, I was like,
She's really cute.
I dove into this thinking it was going to be crazy fucking lore.
And
I
just got facts.
And I just got facts.
All right. Well, there you are. You're presented.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make it more of a thing than it actually is.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. But you know what to do.
Yes. You're supposed to rate and review it, subscribe, and one stars or five stars.
Nothing between.
No.
Nothing between. We love you. We'll talk to you next week. And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.